Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
The Rockies Insider, with me, your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, talking about a game that I might be playing at Coors Field here very soon. Maybe it's just in my mind, it's in my imagination. We'll see. Dave Roberts' legacy, and really, what is a true World Series? You know, this is a special one, I think, in a lot of different ways in 2025. You know, it's Canada versus the U.S., and you know, you have the both MVPs of the ALCS, NLCS as international players, Shohei Ohtani from Japan and Vlad Guerrero Jr. from the Dominican Republic, but who was also born in Montreal when his father, Vlad Guerrero, aka Vlad Guerrero Sr., I don't know that anybody calls him that, because he wasn't senior when he played, but he was a Hall of Fame player in the Hall of Fame, playing for the Expos and Angels, amongst other teams. But it feels like a true global World Series. You know, the numbers are off the charts in Canada. Like 25% of the country is watching the World Series, which, you know, you would think maybe there would be more, but, you know, it's hard to get 25% of anything now. 25% of any group's attention. So there's a ton there. Japan, we know, are watching with bated breath, with three Japanese born players in Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Shohei Ohtani, and Roki Sasaki. Toss in there that Dave Roberts was also born in Japan and has some ties. In fact, you might have, this did go out on social media over the weekend, that this is the first World Series that there are three Japanese born players in the World Series since 2007. That's right. The Rockies were a part of that. For Boston, you had Hideki Okajima and Daisuke Matsuzaka, and the lone Japanese player from the Rockies, Kaz Matsui. In fact, the Rockies have not had a Japanese-born player since Kaz Matsui back in 2007, and they've had only one Asian-born player since then, Sungwan Oh, in 2018 and 2019. And they haven't signed any players out of Asia either. A lot of that having to do with the investment overseas. They don't have any scouts on the ground watching international players. So each year that more and more players come over from overseas, from Japan, young players, impactful players, guys who, frankly, a lot of them do get underpaid because that's just the nature of professional sports when you're coming from another country and teams can play that game just a little bit with you. The Rockies just are overexposed in that way. And that could be one of the many areas that they could get better is in that internationals, that Far East market. They do a good job in Latin America, but players from Japan on the big league roster invest in that. Maybe that's one of the things we learn about with the new GM is this is a good way to invest. We know there's going to be a chief revenue and strategy officer. Perhaps some of the money that gets invested back into the Rockies isn't just in the analytics department, but it's for a scout overseas, boots on the ground to try to improve internationally, because this is an international game. We got the World Baseball Classic coming up next March. There's qualifiers going on right now. And this is truly a World Series. You know, we've got 13 foreign-born players representing eight countries, when you look at the League Championship Series rosters: Canada, Cuba, Dominican Republic, Japan, Mexico, Puerto Rico, South Korea, and Venezuela. You know, Puerto Rico for Kike Hernandez on the Dodgers, Dominican Republic for Teoscar Hernandez, Haesung Kim, South Korea, as I said, Ohtani, Sasaki, Yamamoto, Japan, Andy Páez from Cuba, and Miguel Rojas from Venezuela. Venezuela also for Andrés Giménez, for the Blue Jays, Alejandro Kirk's from Mexico, Yariel Rodriguez from Cuba, and Sir Anthony Dominguez from the Dominican Republic. So you've got the international flavor there. And for something that we call a World Series, that's a good thing. And we're seeing so much, we're seeing the growth of baseball worldwide. And so much of that has to do with the World Baseball Classic. And I think, you know, as good as the story was for Cal Raleigh and the Mariners getting to their first ever World Series, Major League Baseball, of course, their preference would have been Dodgers, Blue Jays this entire way. Of course, Dodgers, Yankees would have done really good numbers too. Probably would have taken a dip below what we saw last year, you know, to run it back. But even still, a dip from 2024 still might be higher than a Mariners Brewers World Series, right? If you're a baseball fan, you're going to watch regardless. And if you say otherwise, you've got some problems with Los Angeles and the Dodgers, right? If you're a baseball fan, you should not let a team or a player ruin your enjoyment of the sport. And I think for the most part, you know, that hasn't been the case. I think last year there were a lot of Rockies fans, a lot of folks in the Midwest, middle part of the country that, you know, they were impacted by these two major markets saying like, oh, it's Dodgers and Yankees. Oh, come on. And they were really annoyed. They were really upset. I think most baseball fans still watched. If you didn't, again, that, I think that says a lot about you and how you might allow certain things to spoil your enjoyment. Enjoy, like what you like, you know, like what you like out there. And if you like baseball, it shouldn't really matter who's playing. It shouldn't, right? Dave Roberts, as I said, Japanese-born, leading the Dodgers to the World Series. This is his fifth time, believe it or not, since becoming a manager with Los Angeles back in 2016. He's now just the 12th manager to appear in at least five World Series, joining Hall of Famers. In fact, they're all Hall of Famers except one, and that's because he's active. He'll get in. He just stepped aside from a gig, so we'll see. Maybe he gets himself into the Hall of Fame as soon as next December. Actually, we don't know who's on the Veterans Committee ballot for Orlando. I'm currently trying to make my plans right now for Orlando and the Disney World area for this year's winter meetings. I've not been down to Florida since, I don't know, it's been a decade, and I haven't been to Orlando and two plus decades. So that's besides the point. Here are the Hall of Famers that have gone to five World Series. Casey Stengel, Joe McCarthy, both from the Yankees. John McGraw, Connie Mack, Walter Alston, Dodgers. Miller Huggins, Yankees. Tony La Russa, Joe Torre, Bobby Cox, and Sparky Anderson also did it five times. Bruce Bochy is the only one not in the Hall of Fame. Is he going there? Yeah, he's won three World Series, right? Maybe the best dynasty. The only dynasty of the 2000s, I guess, right? You know, the Red Sox have their three, but it was so spread out that there were really few that were linchpins in all of those. But Bruce Bochy there, he's got five, three with the Giants. Oh, how does he even have five? He won three with the Giants. He won in 2023, of course, with the Texas Rangers. How does he have five? I don't know. Patrick, I put myself on the spot. That's what I do. I stick my foot in my mouth and I start going down a rabbit hole that I know I don't want to go down and I didn't include it in my notes. And I get caught out there. Oh, that's right. He won four, but he was a part of five when the Giants lost. Nope. He was not the manager of the Giants back in 2000. Or 2002 when the Angels won, 98 Padres. There we go. So he didn't win it, but he was a part of it. Totally threw myself off. And Dave Roberts, the ninth manager to lead a single team to the World Series five times. In the chat, could we see more Japanese players coming over in coming years? Absolutely. Yeah, there's already about three or four notable Japanese players that are planning to come over. We've seen a lot more success for these players. I think teams are investing a lot more in Japanese players and in terms of, you know, interpreters. And, you know, there's just more Japanese players that are coming over and they're seeing like, you know what, I'd love to play with Shohei Ohtani. I want to test my mettle in the majors. right? In the United States, it's the best baseball league, period. And it becomes more about that than it does about making more money. Because a lot of players can make more money over in Japan than in the United States. Masato Tanaka is a player that I don't know if he's still playing, but after a couple of injury plagued seasons with the Yankees, he ultimately decided, you know, I'm going to go back to Japan. And he's been pitching well there. You know, in fact, there's a lot of American players, believe it or not, that can make more money in Japan than they can in the United States. More fringy players. They're players who are promised a non-roster invitation at spring training. But if you don't make the team, or even if you do, you could get option designated for assignment. And then, you know, at best, you'll earn the league minimum. You'll earn about $750,000 if you can stick around. And again, break camp with the team. You got to play well in spring training just to make that $750,000. But you go over to Japan, you're going to get $1 million and it's guaranteed. So yeah, we're seeing a lot more. I wouldn't say a lot more, but we're seeing a steady influx of Japanese players coming over. And I think with sort of the next generation of Japanese players seeing Ohtani breaking records and leading the way, I think we're seeing even a better caliber of Japanese players. And so, you know, if you want a homework assignment, I would say study up on the best players in Japan and really keep an eye on them at next year's World Baseball Classic, because you're going to see players that will play in Major League Baseball. I'd be curious to know, you know, gosh, what was the last World Baseball Classic before 2023? It might have been 2017, because there was a big break. How many of those players from 2017 ended up playing in the majors? I don't know if it would be half, maybe more like somewhere in the 33% to 40%. So between two-thirds and two-fifths of players one-third or two-fifths of players from Japan actually coming over to MLB. So we're seeing them coming. That's just a pipeline that's just not going to stop. You have to think that, you know, Dave Roberts is very well beloved in Los Angeles. You know, I think he's got a way to go before he's as revered as Phil Jackson from the NBA, from basketball. You know, he's got the 5 World Series appearances, looking to win his 3rd ring, first one back to back. That's a rarity. You know, Phil Jackson is upper echelon other than Red Auerbach. I mean, you got Phil Jackson 1A, 1B in terms of NBA coaches. Jackson won 11 as a head coach, and then 5 of them were with the Lakers. So this would only be number 3 for Dave Roberts, were they to win. He's got 2 so far. You know, 2020 does count, say what you will. They were the best team. And Dave Roberts is not going to win NL Manager of the Year this year. He's not. He's only won it once, and that was his first year in 2016. And I don't have a problem with that, because for Dave Roberts, the Manager of the Year award is a regular season / expectation award. And when the expectations are already so incredibly high for the Los Angeles Dodgers, how can you best those expectations? If anything, if you were to look at preseason predictions, the Dodgers are one of the teams where almost year in, year out, they lose more games than they're expected to, because the bar is so high. I think I don't know what all the sports books were going into this season, but I think a lot of them had them at like winning 100 games. They didn't really come close to that. So what, Dave Roberts stinks? Absolutely not. But Dave Roberts, his Manager of the Year award, if you will, his reward is winning the World Series, is going deep into the postseason. He doesn't need Manager of the Year award. He doesn't. You when you win the World Series, you have proven you are the best manager of that season, right? I mean, there's no two ways about it. Now, granted, if you have a team that, you know, can sneak into the postseason and is just overpowered, like a Milwaukee Brewers, and you say, yeah, well, Pat Murphy really in many ways was the best manager of the year. Okay, sure. And he's probably going to win the award. We'll find that out in the next couple of weeks. So sure, Pat Murphy is going to win Manager of the Year award, but when you win the World Series, that's all you need to know. That's all you want. You want to win the World Series. You don't want a Manager of the Year. That's a regular season award. Dave Roberts is about the end of season awards and winning a ring. Dave Roberts was seventh last year in 2024. I don't think he's going to finish in the top three. Dave Roberts, he'll get votes. He's gotten votes every year that he's been manager. But listen to how he's finished. Again, in the regular season, NL Manager of the Year award. Again, votes have to be put in before the start of the postseason. So this has nothing to do with that. Seventh last year, fifth in 2023, second in 2022, fifth in 2021. He only got third place votes. He got six third place votes. That was it. That was the Gabe Kapler year where the San Francisco Giants won 107 games, most in franchise history. Even when John McGraw was the manager, when they were the New York Giants, couldn't get it done. They did play less games then, not by a lot, but still. Gabe Kapler should have been the unanimous NL Manager of the Year award winner. He wasn't. He missed by two votes. One of those voters was from Colorado, and the other was from Cincinnati, and that person didn't even have Gabe Kapler in the top three. I don't get that. That's I'm not going to be critical of anybody's ballot, but when 28 people have Gabe Kapler at number one, one person has them at number two, and you don't have them anywhere in the top three, that could be hard to swallow. Fifth place in 2020, won the World Series then. He's fine. Fourth in 2019. Sixth in 2018, where his mentor, one of his many mentors, but his mentor and good close friend, Bud Black, finished third. That's right. Buddy was a third place finisher back in 2018. Bud Black did get one first place vote in 2018, I should point out. And it did come from a writer in San Francisco, Dave Roberts, second place in 2017. So nearly went back to back, which Pat Murphy is very likely to do this year. We haven't seen that, I believe, since Kevin Cash. Bobby Cox is the only other manager to win back-to-back Manager of the Year awards in the same league with the same team. But Dave Roberts, second place in 2017, did finish one spot ahead of Bud Black. Buddy finished third, received three first place votes, believe it or not. And again, Buddy came in, that was his first year in 2017. Walt Weiss was under 500 with the roster in 2016. And Buddy did a great job. I mean, that was probably the better job than 2018, I think, that he did, because the Rockies really just picked up where they left off in 2018. But 2017 was the one where he got that much more. You saw that boost that Bud Black was able to provide the roster. And he got three first place votes. One came from a writer in Pittsburgh. One came from a writer in San Diego. And one came from someone in Colorado, from a writer that is surely no longer a member of the BBWAA and is relatively disgraced. They've written two books that I loved, made some bad choices off the field, if you will. And I've never met this person. Don't really care to. You can look it up if you'd like, if you're so very curious, but I'll leave it at that. Did see there was a strange stat. Maybe it's not that strange, but I'm sure they'll talk about it during game four with Kike Hernandez's start on Saturday. He actually ended up surpassing Justin Turner for most postseason games in Dodgers history. 87. He's up to 88 now, but passes Justin Turner, who even then you go, Justin Turner, the most postseason games in Dodgers history, despite the many World Series that the Brooklyn Dodgers went to. That was the only round. There weren't rounds. It was just the World Series. You win the National League, you go to the World Series. You win the AL, you go to the World Series. They didn't have all of these multiple rounds. So, you know, a lot of these franchise records by these historical teams are held by modern players. And again, it makes sense because of the now four rounds of postseason that we had. Even three rounds is a lot. That's a lot more than the generation prior when it was just the ALCS and NLCS, right? You won the East or you won the West, and you went to a showdown for the NL or AL pennant. So it probably shouldn't come as a surprise, but yeah, Kike Hernandez in a lot of games. Los Angeles Dodgers. Excuse me, Los Angeles Angels. Man, they are problematic. I'm really curious. I'd love to speak with somebody from LA. What's the reputation of the Angels right now? Because it's not good. It's honestly not good right now. They're going through a lot of problems. They've got the longest postseason drought in MLB right now. They haven't gone since 2014. They had a payroll over $200 million. They consistently spend but do nothing. They've totally botched the Shohei Ohtani situation. You know, didn't get him to the postseason. They didn't trade him to get a haul, right? They got a qualifying offer, whatever. Pujols was ready to come back as your manager. He wanted a little bit of certainty, and the Angels decided to pass. And they ended up giving Kurt Suzuki a one-year contract, which is unheard of for a new manager. They've got everything going on in the Eric K. Tyler Skaggs court case right now, the wrongful death lawsuit going on. You had Yusei Kikuchi at the end of the season coming out and saying that the Angels didn't have an air conditioning in the team's weight room. The GM denied it, and then the next day there was a job posting for somebody to work the HVAC. So the Angels, you know, talk about being a second-class citizen in your own town, which, you know, has been the case for the Cubs for many years. Now, of course, the White Sox are in that position. The Mets have long been in that position with the Yankees. But the Angels are very much that. It's kind of interesting that, you know, historically there it's been, you know, two city or two team cities. There's one that is doing most things well. Not gonna say everything right, but doing most things well. And there's another one that is, you know, tripping over its own feet. And sometimes they switch, sometimes they take turns. You know, in the 80s, the Mets were the better organization than the Yankees. Now we're seeing the Cubs as the better organization than the White Sox, but for a very long time, the White Sox were the better organization than the Cubs. Cubs were the lovable losers, and the White Sox didn't have a ton of winning history, but they weren't the same lovable losers. You know, they didn't have a nickname about losers. Lastly, I want to talk about a really fun idea that I've thought about it before, certainly never said anything publicly, but maybe this gets the ball rolling. I don't know. So big tip of the cap to Christian Saez of DNVR and DNVR Rockies. He put it out there on social media. He was inspired by a common practice. I don't know how long they've been doing it for, but in the NBA and for the Nuggets, they have a media versus coaching staff game. So they have a media game, right? Nuggets media versus Nuggets coaches. And the media got blown out. And, you know, they didn't play at a Ball Arena, but still, they got to get on the court with a couple, you know, former pros. And, you know, for baseball, it's something that they do in Boston and New York. They do Red Sox versus Yankees media every year at Fenway and at the new Yankee Stadium. They used to do it at the old Yankee Stadium. And I would just kill for this. I would kill for something like that. So Christian Saez put out a starting lineup, you know, where everyone would play. I do have a bit of an issue about being put at first base. It's really the one position I've almost never played. Once I was done, and I played every position in high school as a utility guy before I even knew that was a thing. My position was ultimately, what's the one spot on this year's team that has the biggest question mark? That's the position I play this year. That's how I found myself getting on the field at third base, second base, third string catcher, corner outfielder. I was always pitching, played a little bit of short. But it wasn't until I was done with high school that I eventually, in the adult men's leagues, picked up a first baseman's mitt. And that was the last one. So you want to use my speed, you want to use my range at first base, that's all right. I will gladly take that. Just to be on the roster was a pleasure. So I would love something like this if we had Denver media versus the Denver coaches. There, again, you need at least 9 guys. So I don't know if there's enough on the coaching staff to get that done. You could probably have a couple siblings of players coming out to play. There's always, you know, former big leaguers that live in and around the Denver area. So fantasy camp for the media, sign me up. I'm all for it. No doubt about it. And yes, in the chat, Hunter Goodman, Silver Slugger. I got to dig into the numbers a little bit more, but I mean, I don't think I need to. Just one glance, he's going to win the Silver Slugger Award this year, period. A lot of news has broken by the time you're listening to the Rockies Insider. Well, that's why you need to follow me over on X and Blue Sky at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, the Rockies Insider channel over on YouTube, and the Rockies Insider newsletter as well. Those are going to get started up again here very, very soon. Appreciate you dropping by. Appreciate all of the momentum. Appreciate your momentum. But unfortunately, it's only as good as my next show. So, of course, I will talk to you tomorrow.